time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Good evening, everybody. Today's date is the 1st of April, 2014, and it is just about 1 minute and 39, 40, 41, 42, 43 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time here in the central part of the U.S. Want to welcome everybody to the show tonight. Okay, we got a lot to cover tonight, so we got to get started. All right. There's a knock on your door. And you open up the door, and it is a person who's got an entire pickup truck full of groceries. Fresh fruits, frozen foods, ice cream, bread, all your favorites. Enough food for a month. And it's free. It's a gift. And your freezer's full, your refrigerator's full, the cupboards are full. There's even a couple of bags of food on the kitchen table that you just didn't have room for. And they say, there you go. It's a gift. And they leave. And you get a headache because you haven't eaten a meal. You get a little dizzy, a little lightheaded. You're hungry. You go to bed without eating supper. You wake up in the morning and you don't have breakfast. And you just wonder when you're going to eat. And there's a knock on your door. And someone says, boy, you don't look good. And you says, well, I haven't had a decent meal in days. And they go, what? And you go, yeah, I'm hungry. I'm not feeling good. I'm just not myself. I could just use a good meal. And they go, are you an idiot? You were given a gift. A month supply of food. You have it. It's in your home. Well, how do you know I have it? Because everybody got it. Man, woman, child, everybody got 30 days of food delivered to them for free. It's a gift. So if you have a headache, if you're lightheaded, you don't feel good, you need a decent meal, exactly whose fault would that be? Who's to blame? Who's accountable? Who's responsible? Now take out food and put in grace, God's love. There has to be a reckoning with yourself between what you read, what you hear, what you see, and what you truly believe. Because it makes no sense to say that God is all powerful and loving, that we are all equal in the eyes of the Lord, and that everybody has the gift of love and the gift of grace. But yet, where is it? Why isn't it working for me? Who's responsible for that? That really doesn't make much sense, does it? Now, on tonight's broadcast, we're going to be talking about your ability to understand what you have to gain and recognize, and what you have to ignore and leave behind. Because it doesn't do you any good to try to accumulate things, whether they're personal or material, if they're getting in the way of your relationship with God, because you already have it. There's no test, there's nothing to do, so that if you don't have grace, if you're not seeing grace, you're not feeling it, well then that really is too bad for you. It's because of the choices you're making and your perspective on who you are and what's important to you. Because, Jim, tonight, you want to cover this, but how would you say this to people?
Well, I think I'd start by saying that trusting that everybody that we're talking to has had an experience with God through Christ, a time when they accepted Jesus into their heart. And if not, of course, you can listen and have that experience before the night's over. But here's my point. Real salvations always come when individuals recognize how needful it is for them to have a Savior. I mean, unless, you know, when you don't need someone to help you, you usually don't feel like you need any help. I know that kind of sounds stupid, but if you think about it, when somebody's, you know, over a cliff and they're hanging on to a little tree that's starting to pull out of the ground, and someone throws them a rope, well, how important is that rope? You'll let go of everything to grab a hold of that rope, because that tree you're hanging on is not going to help you. But if you're not even over the edge and you don't realize that life, that there's a need for your life to have Christ in it, well, it's very difficult for people like that to get saved. Jesus pointed those folks out in the Bible, where he talked about how hard is it for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Well, it doesn't mean that if you have money, you can't get there. It just means the money is going to sidetrack you, is going to be able to provide all kinds of options for you, and it's very possible you'll find yourself not coming to the end of yourself where you'll have a need of a Savior. So recognizing the need in your life is the first place for you to let go of what you can't do, to grab a hold of what God can do. Because again, like BJ said, this is a gift. If a gift was given to you of 30 days of food and you're starving to death, well, that's kind of on you, because you have the ability to use that food. We know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. James said that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, from above, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He doesn't change. Everything's good. Well, if you're not experiencing the good, it's because you're obviously too connected to what's bad. And it doesn't have to be that way, because it literally becomes a part of our perspective of life, of whether we're connected to what's wrong or we're able to experience wholeheartedly what's good. And this is something that really has to be, in my opinion, as we talk tonight, I think it'll unfold. We usually don't really know too much about what's going to come when we start one of these Tuesday nights. We just pretty well start talking, and we've only talked about some of these things a few minutes before. And I'm scrambling for usually for some verses to help authenticate what we're sharing. But I really think as you see things unfold tonight, you'll begin to see how necessary it is to see where you're at so you can let go of what's not, so that you can hold on to what is. And God is.
Well, hold on. I'm a little puzzled.
Okay.
Are you like, you didn't like the opening to the show? You didn't agree with it?
No, I did. I agree
wholeheartedly. What's your specific problem with it? I don't understand.
Well, why do you think I have a problem with the opening?
Well, I'm just going with what you just said. I mean, you know, let's get this out in the open. Is there an issue here or something?
I don't know what you're talking about. I agreed with what you're saying at
the
opening.
I don't think it's funny. Why are you laughing? I mean,
it's an April Fool joke. Thank you very much. You're so
You should have seen the look on this guy's face. Well, of course. What did you honest? Okay. Is there really even a decision to be made for me to either make fun of myself and laugh at myself, or to make fun of you and laugh at you? Is there really a choice there? No, there's not. And we've already had a text. It says, props to Jim for going anywhere near the ranch on April Fool's Day.
Thank you. Thank
brave
you.
Guy.
Thank you very much. That's very good. I appreciate the insight for whoever sent that.
You realize you're here for almost 2 hours more.
I know.
And you can't even see your vehicle, can you?
No, I can't.
No.
But wow. I don't care either.
Because it's your daughter's car? There you go, folks. There's a father's love right there. I don't care. It's my daughter's car. Wow. That's a revelation.
Do you know, I didn't say that.
You said that. Everybody heard you.
I said, I don't care.
Yeah.
You added, because it's your daughter's car.
Well, look, I know you don't care about the show, but I care about the show. And people know that.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay, we got to get some housekeeping out of the way. If you'd like to send an email, you can send your emails to theabidingpresence@gmail.com. That's theabidingpresence@gmail.com. If you'd like to send a text message, the first word that you type is the word grace. That's the first word that you type is grace. And then you send it to this 5-digit number, 69302. That's 69302 for a text message. And emails are theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Also, this is on the radio show's website, The Abiding Presence. On the contacts page is the instructions. And right. We've already got some emails. We got one here that came in.
Hey, as a means of not forgetting tonight, give that. Let's make sure we make our announcement about the library this week.
Yeah, the Hardesty Library is tomorrow night, Wednesday.
We're getting the bugs out of that live stream, so it should be actually really good tomorrow.
So people can log on to, what do they have to log on to the watch the library meeting?
Well, at this point, it's going to be sent to the Abiding Presence website as well. But at this point, I think it's just on my website. So they can log on to my website, jimhockaday.com. And they'll find a link for live streaming.
Okay. And then they'll be able to watch between 7 and 8 Central Time.
Yeah, yeah. And it should be a good broadcast this time.
Okay.
We were dropping some things because we were using the
So
the
not only
library
will they be
Wi-Fi.
Able to hear it, they'll be able to see you.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll be able to see it.
Okay.
Audio, video.
At the library tomorrow night, they have to go to the Jim Hockaday Ministry. What is it?
No, just jimhockaday.com.
Okay, and there'll be something there on the front page that says Hardesty Library live feed.
Right.
Okay.
And then we're going to get that put on to the Abiding Presence, too.
Okay.
All right. What's your email?
It says, says, hi, guys. It's from Wendell and Stacy Millett from Trinidad and Tobago.
Tobago.
Accidentally stumbled across Jim's messages on YouTube about 2 weeks ago. Since hearing Jim's messages, our lives have been completely overhauled as an answer to our prayers to the Father since early January. We have reached the end of our ropes with what is being thought to us, and our, oh, it says thought, but they meant taught. We are at the end of our ropes with what is being taught to us and our three sons. We are in early stages of our comprehension of the encompassing grace to take us to the next paradigm. We expect to crack the elusive code of His grace soon. Well, see, it's not elusive.
No, not at all.
And it's not a code.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what this guy's saying, but sure. I feel bad that he thinks it's elusive and that it's a code.
Well,
it makes it sound special. And,
right.
And, you know,
but that's just a part of that other kind of teaching.
I love saying this to Bible thumper, building going, doctrine twisting religious people. Okay, grace was never meant to be special.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be as ordinary as your socks and shoes.
Right.
And that's the problem, is that when you think it's special, elusive, or different, that means that it sounds like you've got to do something really amazing for it to happen.
Right, right.
It says, we'll keep you guys posted and expect to have awesome testimonies of this tangible grace in our lives over here in the Caribbean. So that's right. Where Trinidad and
yeah.
And Tobago are.
Right. One of the Caribbean islands. Yeah.
It
Thank
says,
you for sending that email. Thank
yeah,
you very
says,
much.
Much love and appreciation to Jim, BJ, and Rex. Who's Rex?
Maybe they meant Ranger.
Ranger?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, this is one of the ones that I'm excited about, having a new listener from somebody that found it. I like that, don't you?
Well, what do you got on YouTube that they found?
Oh, there's people put up sermons from where I go to churches on YouTube all the time.
They do?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, we got another email here. It says, hello, Ranger, BJ, and Jim. Wanted to share a testimony. This Friday was supposed to be my last day on earth, but God said no. On my way to work that morning, a car smashed and T-boned me to the passenger's door and knocked me over to the other side of the road. Had there been any cars coming in the opposite direction, I would have been trapped in the car and killed. Isn't this grace all over? I'm thankful to be alive. Thank you, Grace. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, the outcome that you're thankful to be alive, that you are alive, that you're not hurt, is amazing and wonderful. And so we're thankful too. But again, I look at this as progression. In other words, thankful that you're alive is a progression, because the next step is to use grace in a measure where you don't have to get in the accident.
Okay, I look at this as it's great, but there was more.
Right, that's what I mean.
If I would have been in that car and I would have been T-boned to the other side of the road, I would have said, you know, why wasn't a car pushed off a cliff and bust into flames? Why wasn't there a semi-truck coming the other way that flattened this car like a pancake? I mean, I like to take grace out for a spin. I like to make grace sweat bullets working for me.
That's a good way to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I like grace to do its job. Okay, you're going to put me in an automobile accident, and you're going to total my pickup truck. I want to see some major, major things going on here. Okay, you saved my life. Great. I'm appreciative. Thanks. But I want to see some other things. I want to see some flames and cars up in the air like a Smokey the Bandit movie. And, you know, I mean, I want there to be multiple helicopters filming and say, this is the most amazing traffic accident in the world. 500 cars, not one single injury. Now, there is a testimony to grace.
And then, how about the testimony to grace every day where you just don't get into an accident?
Of course. Remember when you said that you'd said a prayer for your daughter to
go out?
Sure. I said, why don't you just say,
right,
you know, just say, thanks.
Yeah.
She's going to be fine, and
right.
You know,
forever.
Yeah, and oh yeah. By the way, while my daughter's at the movies, could you wash and wax the car, change the oil in it, and check the air and the tires? Thank you, Grace. I mean, really, put the commitment out there.
Right.
Because if there's no limits and there's no boundaries,
sure.
then there really shouldn't be limits and boundaries on what you're thankful for
mm-hmm.
or what you have. It's a gift.
Yeah.
You know, because if you really have grace when there's a knock on their door and they say, here's a month worth of groceries, you would say, I'll see you next month because right. I'm going to need more.
Right, right.
There's only 30 days of food storage in my house, so in 30 days, mm-hmm. I guess you'll knock on my door with another truck full of food. Now, there is commitment and conviction.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's about attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have this defeative attitude that there is a God and that there is grace, but they haven't earned it yet, or they haven't deserved it, or they can't find it.
Right.
And so they swim around in a small little pool of pain and discomfort and depression. But I mean, you gotta be strong. You gotta say, it's mine. Where is it? I want it now.
Yeah, but that's the whole position of grace in the first place, to give you that kind of position and to give you that kind of strength. Everything about grace is to empower you, to strengthen you.
It is. Turn that fan on.
Yep.
It's getting warm in here. You got like 3 shirts on and a hat and long underwear? What's the problem with you city kids?
I was doing just fine with my sweatshirt on.
Okay, we got another text here. It says Nick is saying hello. He's driving his forklift.
That's nice. Hey, Nick.
Now, we like emails. I think, okay, we talked about before the show how we wanted people to understand that negative energy, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call it, it has nothing to do with any of this. I mean, the troubles of the day are because of choices
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what your perspective is, your point right. of view on things.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, very much so. I think one of maybe we could introduce this subject here, and that is about the book of Genesis again, because I really think what we discussed earlier about that is just really, really important for people to see. It was very enlightening. How much information you can get out of the book of Genesis. And really, I saw a lot in the book of Genesis, but there's so much more.
Well, and what I told you tonight, you wrote like, what'd you write, 4 or 5 pages?
Yeah, about 4 or 5 pages. But just the whole idea, as you see the conversion and transition from a connection, everything being really good, being wonderful, the provision that was made for Adam and Eve, and then the punishment that came because of sin, and the transition into everything about man on the course of his day was about fending for himself, his own independence, his own work, his own toil, his own struggle. In fact, it didn't take long until struggle, toil, work, effort, all of that became the norm.
The one of the most important messages in Genesis never really gets discussed, let alone even brought to the light of day, which is there's not a lot of talk about what Adam and Eve did with Jesus in the Garden of Eden. They were there, and they were together with Christ right. 24 hours a day.
Right.
The real emphasis in Genesis, if you look at it, is look what happened to them because of their own choosing and how their reality was instantly changed.
Right.
They had everything. There's no mention of how good it was, but there's no mention of how bad it was. They just were there with God, and everything was perfect in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
And they made a fast, simple choice on their own, and their reality was reversed to one of clothing, jobs, vanity, childbirth, work, death. I mean, just a laundry list of things to do and to concern themselves with.
Right.
So if a person sat down in a quiet room and they said, okay, who am I like? Whose life am I living? Am I living the life of Adam or Eve, depending if you're a man or a woman. I'll let you decide who you are, man or woman. I don't care. I don't think we should tell people who they are, do you?
No, they pretty well know.
Jim, it's April Fool's. That was a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So say, am I living the life of Eve in her punishment phase? Am I living the life of Adam in the punishment? Am I working and toiling and I'm worried about this and I have this concern and that concern? Or am I with Christ and I'm not concerned about anything?
Yeah, so take Adam and Eve and start to march forward with all of their struggle, their toil, their independence, their own effort for everything, their own frustrations, all the different things that people assume to be just normal, and then compound that over 6,000 years, and what do you have today? Well, you have life lived where you meet yourself coming and going. You're so wrapped up in everything. You're literally entwined. It's like, in fact, there's a scripture. I'm going to find that while you take up from here. I want to find this scripture. It's over in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12.
Folks, if you want to email, we need some emails. It's theabidingpresence@gmail.com. You can send your text. The first word that you type is the word grace. And then you can send your text to 69302. We got another text that says, can we think of connection as spiritual eye contact? Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a cute little phrase. I mean, I guess it really doesn't matter what you call it. I think the point is that it really doesn't matter about whether you give it a name or what you call it. It's whether you have a connection with the guys or not. I mean, there is so much grace in your life that you pass by, and you don't pass it by on a daily basis. You don't pass it by on an hourly basis. But I am here to tell you, there is grace right in front of you right now. It's always with you. The thing of noticing grace is amazing. It's dark, okay, where you probably are. It's probably dark unless you're on the other side of the planet listening to this show in a foreign country. But it's dark. And yet you can see. You have lights. It might be cold where you are, but yet you are protected from the weather. You have warmth.
Right, right.
You've probably had some food today. You've probably had something to drink. When you went to the bathroom, there was toilet paper. You had an opportunity to appreciate a cloud that looked like a dead president, a bird sitting on a branch or a tree. You could have enjoyed nature wherever you are. There is God's glory and God's love everywhere. But if you don't acknowledge that, and it's right in front of you, how much harder is it for you to set aside the choices that you make so that you can't acknowledge grace in yourself?
Right, right. Very good. I found that verse in Hebrews 12 in verse 1, and it says, therefore then, and this is in the Amplified, and you know, I remember at Bible school hearing different ones say, when you see a therefore, find out what it's there for. And Hebrews chapter 11, the previous chapter, is all about men and women that forsook all, that daringly stepped beyond the line of no return, the point of no return, that dared the odds, that bet their life on heavenly realities instead of earthly trivialities. The whole chapter is about people that experience God in what the world would say would be miraculous ways, but was just the norm, okay?
Yes.
And then it goes to Hebrews 12 after all that huge chapter of all those people. And everybody, I mean, all kinds of ones are in there. David's in there, Abraham's in there, Moses is in there, Noah's in there, Enoch's in there. When he went home, it walked with God for 300 years and then just walked over to the other side. It says, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth. Talking about all these people that have gone on. It says, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and the sin. And I want to call sin, see if you are okay with this. I want to call sin wrong choices or bad choices concerning the flesh of the world.
Well, yeah, I mean, the it's like, how many times on this show have we said the greatest sin isn't murder or adultery or theft? The greatest sin is people's lack of choosing to acknowledge grace.
Right, right.
Very literally turning, I mean, there's no other way to put it, turning your back on God.
Right, which would be making a bad choice about the flesh of the world. So it says, strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and those bad choices of the flesh and world, which so readily, definitely, and cleverly cling to and entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, away from all distractions.
Okay, I want you to read that again, but I want you to stop after every, I'm just going to say stop. Just read it, okay. And I'm going to stop you a lot.
Okay. Well, it starts out by talking about all those that went before us that had results. It says, now, let's strip off and throw aside every encumbrance or unnecessary weight.
Okay, stop. Okay, what they're saying there is encumbrances and weights. Those are the dramas of the day.
Sure.
Your jobs, your bills, your payments, your neighbor's dog, the fact that there's somebody that gets to work 20 minutes before you and they always get the freshest coffee and the best,
yep,
biggest free donuts.
Yep.
That's what they're talking about. Okay, what's the next part?
It says, and that sin, or we could say those bad choices.
No, just read it the way it is.
Okay, that sin which so readily and cleverly clings to and entangles us.
Okay, they're talking about sin being choices, because repent means go a different direction. And listen to the way they use repent. It'll say, if you're saying this, if you're doing that, or these are your actions, repent, which means choose differently, go a different direction. Okay, what's the next part?
And then it says, let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence.
Okay, they're saying that there's no reason to rush, but there is no limits and there's no boundaries, which
right,
means that once you accept God into your life and you accept grace into your heart, that it should never stop. It should excel. You should explore. There should always be more. Each day should be better than the last. That there's no end result. Because in organized religion and in structures and buildings, it's about keeping a limit and a boundary, that everybody's on the same page, everybody is doing the same thing, and it never really goes anywhere.
Right.
That's why people can say, you know, I've been gone for 6 months, and I've come back, and after being gone from 6 months, I walk in here, and it's like I never left.
Mm-hmm.
It's home. Everything is just how I remembered it. Well, see, that sounds nice, but from a God position, from a guy's position, that is sad and pathetic. You're telling me that you've been worshiping Christ for 6 months, and you're at the same spot as you were when I left?
Mm-hmm.
Where's progress?
Sure.
Because this scripture just said a steady pace of progress.
Right.
What's
right,
the rest of it?
Well, it goes on to verse 2 to say, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith.
See, it's talking about distractions.
Uh-huh.
Look away from everything. There's nothing good of the
right,
flesh, nothing good of the world. It's a distraction. How many times have we said, use the word, you're distracted?
Right.
You're in your own
right,
way.
Right, right. And then it finishes up with this thought, talking about Jesus. It says, for he, and it shows you what he did, he, for the joy of obtaining the prize, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
Well, it ends up with saying, look, once you get all that flesh and world stuff out of the way,
right,
you're there.
Yeah.
And you're welcome, because you've always been there. You just had to choose to acknowledge this over the world.
And this is the same thing as having a 30-day supply of food.
Yes.
And learning how to eat it.
Yes.
And enjoying it.
And when the groceries are unloaded, the guy walks out the door, the last thing you say is, I'll see you next month.
Right. See you in another 30 days.
All right. This came in 6 minutes ago. It says, hi, Ranger, BJ, and Jim. And it says, a shout out to the Mehefes and the Yokleys. And it says, looking forward to the library streaming. North Carolina still buzzing from last week's visit.
This is Tim and Ed and their families.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It says, we've gone back through the two nights' recordings, and they have been the best we've ever heard from Jim. Reflecting this week about some of the topics covered, but really honing in on the concept, the alternate reality that BJ talked about when he came to Jim's third or fourth meeting, by focusing on little things that I see during my day that grace is in interjecting into my 3D reality. I'm in sales, and just this week, I've seen my quota cut down by 40%. Never happened in the past. And I've seen two significant instances this week of grace literally handing me two separate six-figure sales in the face of it looking like I wasn't going to win the sale, because I just relaxed and threw the ball to grace and said it wasn't up to me. Just a note of thanks to all you guys are doing. Ed from North Carolina, he's a salesman.
Right. Well, that's throwing aside every encumbrance and the unnecessary weight. I mean, he just let go of it.
Wonder what he sells, furniture?
I'm not sure.
Freezers, washers, dryers, cars?
Yeah, I don't know.
Shoes?
Maybe so.
Maybe he sells shoes.
Do you know, remember who he was talking about the alternate reality? Water's not wet, ground's not hard, sky's not blue.
Yeah, I haven't talked about that in a long time. Up isn't down, down is up.
Right.
The grass isn't green, it's brown, dirt's green.
Right.
Yeah. Because what that really is you literally have to stop and make a U-turn and go the other direction.
It's an identity of what you've actually done.
That's what repent
to be
means,
so.
Yeah. To change.
And that's the reason why we brought in the whole idea of Genesis. Because when you see how quickly things got messed up, where man was now in control of everything, and just going so quickly in the wrong direction, then literally you'd have to look at this through the book of Genesis and say, how in the world am I ever going to have what's in the garden if I'm still attached to all the things that man has made to be the real reality in the world today? If I'm attached to those things, if I've never even asked the bigger questions about myself, am I having any progress? Am I going anywhere? Is anything working for me? And what is it that I'm attached to? Where's my time? Where's my energy? Where are my affections? What is it that I'm most excited about within the given course of a day? Where do I spend my thought process, my thought life? If you don't ask those kind of questions, to be able to see that the majority of our time is spent in the world with our thoughts on the world and even our affections upon the world, then literally you're drowning in something that you can't see God from. And unless you begin to recognize it, how are you going to make a change? You can't.
I don't know. We just got a message. Let's see here. Just got an email that came in. Hold on a second. Want to... Ed just sent a message. You know what he sells?
Hmm.
Women's socks.
That's cool.
Is there, I guess you can make a living selling women's socks?
I'm sure on April Fool's Day you can make a living selling anything.
I don't know. But what he doesn't realize, see, this is where people miss the boat. They send emails that they think I won't read on the radio show. And I started this show off by saying what? I don't care. They're, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, they're in, you know.
Hey, let me read this. I think you'll like this. Or do you need, you have something more with your email?
Yeah, he just said, Ed just sent another email. It says, he said it was April Fool's. It's not Lady Socks. He actually, that's not what he sells.
Okay.
Yeah.
He didn't say what he did sell, though, did he?
Well, he did. He kind of goes into this, you know, this long digitation about, you know, what he sells.
Okay.
I mean, somebody's got to sell that stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's not stuff I would ever really buy, but, you know, I mean.
Okay.
I never thought about it, but, you know, every product in the store, somebody. Well, no, that's not true. I have one somewhere around here. I mean, you know. Well, I mean, you know what? Well, I can't see it. It's a dark screen.
He just told me what he does.
Well, I know, but Ed, I don't think there's anything wrong with selling. I mean, I don't know what else to call them. I just call them toilet plungers.
Yeah, I remember now, Ed, that you told me, but I won't say because everybody's enjoying BJ's.
Ed, the toilet plunger salesman from North Carolina. Every home has got one. So, you know, folks, the next time you've got to use it.
Use it.
Think of Ed.
Yeah, there you go.
Think of Ed. You know, people shouldn't start things that they just not, you know.
Willing to finish.
Willing to finish.
Okay. Titus 2:11, I think, is a really good illustration and explanation for what we're talking about tonight. BJ, see what you think. I haven't read this version of it before, but it says, "For the grace of God, his unmerited favor and blessing, has come forward or appeared for the deliverance from sin," or you could say bad choices, "and the eternal salvation for all mankind. It has trained us," notice what grace is doing, it's trying to train us to reject and renounce all ungodliness or religion and worldly passionate desires, to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in this present world. So it's shielding us on yes. one hand, but it's moving us forward to what is right on the other.
Well, and we just got a text message from someone, and it says, how do I speed up the progress of seeing grace? How would you answer that?
Well,
how do I speed up the progress of seeing grace?
Well, first of all, I think it's right here in this verse, but I'll say this. Number one, where's your desire? Because it all goes back to desire. Jesus said, "For those that are hungry will be filled." And if you're really hungry to see grace, why wouldn't grace that is everywhere make itself presentable? That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to help you to see all of God's wonderful provision.
I'll give you an example on how to speed up seeing grace. The other day, when was it? Friday. I think it was it Friday? Yeah, it was Friday. Okay, it was Friday. It was towards the end of the day. It was just about chore time. We do chores at the ranch somewhere between 4 and 5:30 every day. You know, it's a working ranch, so you don't, you know, go by the clock. But
right.
towards the end of the day, we start bringing all the horses in and, you know, feed and water and stuff. And everybody was in a hurry because, you know, when you're outside, you can smell rain coming.
Sure.
And the air gets a little cooler and
yep.
fresher.
Yep.
And you look towards the horizon, and you can see where it actually is raining, but it's mm-hmm. several miles away.
Right.
Okay, well, that was going on. And I'm just sitting there leaning on a fence, and Ranger is sitting next to me. And everybody's saying, "Come on, you know, we're going to get rained on. We got to, you know, do this and put this away and close it, you know, and let's get done before, you know, that storm hits here." And, you know, and there's a little thunder and lightning. And I said, "You know what?" I said, "Do you know what it's see? Do you want to see what my favorite color is?" And the... You know, the people working on the ranch, they just looked at each other with that look like, okay, here he goes. You know, the crazy switch has been flipped on, you know, and they can't do nothing because Friday is like payday.
Right, right.
You know, and I am the boss. And so they go, "What's your favorite color?" You know, they're just kind of, you know, and I'm going, look right up there. That is my favorite color. And I says, "Just enjoy that." And they say, "It's thunder and lightning, and we've still got 30 minutes of work." And they're saying, you know, and I'm going, I says, would you just enjoy this? Mm-hmm. I said, look how neat this is. Look at the sun behind the thunderclouds. Uh-huh. And I'm trying to verbally show them just right. how really cool this looks.
Sure.
You know, and I said, oh, look, there's a hawk. You know, look at the hawk out in the western trees. You know, look, it's looking for some, you know, and they're going, yeah, okay, we've seen the sun, we've seen the clouds, we've seen the birds. You know, can we, like, get started with chores now? And I go, look, if you guys want to start chores, go ahead. But I think I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to enjoy this.
Hmm.
And I said, this is really great. And I says, but, you know, I really need more thunder, you know, more lightning, more animation. You know, and the storm is, you know, getting closer.
Right.
And I'm going,
right.
And I'm going, yeah, this is great. Well, they think I'm nuts. And you know what? Everybody got paid. All the chores got done. We even stood around and talked for 20 minutes, and everybody was off the ranch. And when I walked in the house, I said, that was great, but they totally missed it. And I said, way to go, guys. You did good. And the bucket, it just hammered the ranch with rain.
Hmm.
They missed it. So when someone says, how do I speed up the progress of seeing grace? You don't necessarily have to speed up. You literally need to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You need to come to a complete stop. You need to forget about your job, your age, what aches, who makes you mad. You have to forget about everything and just look at where you're standing or where you're sitting at that moment and say, this is wonderful.
Hmm.
You know, I grew up around these cowboys, and they'd all been in World War II in Korea.
Right.
And we're talking some serious tough guys.
Yeah.
You know, and... They would always say things, no matter what branch of the service they'd been in. You know, this guy says, well, I was on a submarine one time, and the Japs were throwing depth charge down at us for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he said, and my best friend, he accidentally had his back against the wall, and a depth charge went off, and the vibration cracked his back, you know, and he was right. paralyzed right on the spot. And he was talking about that, and he says, you know, he says, if someone isn't throwing depth charge at you, it's just a good day. You know, and because they have such a on-off, yes-no
sure.
perspective of things.
Sure.
You know, and I've learned this over the years. People say, what do you think? And I'll say, well, if you don't need an attorney, you don't need a bail bondsman, you don't need a fire truck or a paramedic or a police officer, it's really a pretty good day.
Mm-hmm.
And people kind of laugh, and then they'll say, you know, you're right.
Right, right.
And that's what speeding up the progress of grace is to actually stop, to slow down.
Yeah.
And realize that you've had grace. You've just been working too hard. You've been too busy. And somebody has sold you a bill of goods that you had to do more, when in reality you shouldn't do anything at all.
Sure. Yeah, even the psalmist said, and David had so many experiences with God, he said that be still and know that I am God. And so notice the whole idea of stopping or slowing down and to a stop where you can begin to actually experience God or begin to take in the marvels of God everywhere around you. Well, those things do, just like BJ said, go unnoticed and in most of us. And then for some people that want to notice those, then they trivialize those things in light of the pain that's in their body or in light of what the doctor said and said, okay, well, I've already seen the birds. I've already seen the sky. So I get that. So now when am I going to be healed? And see, what BJ just made a comment about and what I shared here about the grace of God and how it's trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness or religion, worldly passions and desires. Grace, when you really want to see grace, it'll help to eliminate your attachment to the pain, your attachment to some report, so that you can experience the fact that Jesus already healed you. That's the whole idea of God's grace. Not working for it, just experiencing it.
There, I don't, if there's one thing that I think that we have not done a very good job of on your show.
Okay.
I mean, there's two things. I mean, I haven't had enough fun at your expense. Can always use more.
Okay.
And
so excited about that.
I am. But I think if there's one thing that we haven't done, and it perplexes me, I think about it all the time, and I talk to the guys about it all the time, just not with your show, but just people in general, is how to literally find the best, most short, succinct way of explaining one extremely important passage. There's nothing good of the world. There's nothing good of the flesh.
Right.
Because when you say that, people say, oh, yeah, I know, or yeah. But they really don't understand the all-encompassing piece of information that truly is. Can you find that somewhere? Because I'd like you not just to read that, but read what's before it and read what's after it, because we haven't done that before. And we need some emails, folks. We need some text messages. I don't think anybody's listening. You know what I think? I think you scared them away.
How do we scare them away? Maybe your April Fool's joke scared them away.
You thought that should scare people? What, are you wearing your daughter's socks? Man up, man. Come on. What?
How was I'm it? Not wearing my daughter's socks.
No, but that was funny, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know. I didn't laugh.
Well, it's not about your laughter. It's about my. It's not about your amusement. It's about my amusement. It's a. You're only understanding that after 100. You know, tonight is 101. 101 radio shows. We need some emails. It's the name of Jim's show, The Abiding Presence. All one word, no capital letters, no spaces. The Abiding Presence at G. The letter G, gmail.com. Also, a text message is the first word that you type in your text is grace. And then you send that to this five-digit number, 69302. We don't mention people's names unless they want us to. And we just keep things private. And so make sure that you send your comments or questions. And they don't have to be necessarily about exactly what we're talking about. We're only here in my horse barn once a week on Tuesday night, so please take advantage of it and get a hold of Jim or Ranger or me. Did you find it?
Well, there's no verse that just comes out and says there's nothing good of the world, nothing good of the flesh, but there's tons of verses that say be careful of the world, be careful of the flesh, nothing good of them. But as far as putting them all together,
well,
so I mean, I do have one that's very good. It says here in 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Okay, let's talk about that. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh.
Right, and the pride of life.
And the pride of life, which means a nice home, a shiny new car, jewelry, boats, new clothes, lots of gifts under the tree, the best lawn on the block. It can be all kinds of things. Not just being a member of a group, but being the leader of a group, standing out. Not just having a job that fulfills you spiritually, but you just don't want to be an employee. You want to be a supervisor, a manager.
Right.
You want a title in front
right.
of your name. And these seem like small things, and they are small things, but yet people justify them and say they're important.
Right.
And then
right.
what else does it go on to say?
Okay, let me go back to that here, where I was. Let's see here.
You already left it? You left that area?
And it says, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Let me read that verse before that. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Okay, now see what that says. Love of the world. That means an attachment, priorities.
All talking about being connected to the wrong thing.
It's distracted, connected, priorities, importance. And when it says, I'm not in him, what's he saying? Grace. Grace isn't in you. He's not saying that you don't have access to grace. He's not saying that grace isn't around you. He's literally just saying what? It's not in you.
Right.
Because there's only so much room in your heart.
Right.
There's only so much room in your mind. And so you have to decide to let go so that you can grab grace.
And it goes on here in John 15, 18, a different passage that says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now notice how good that is, see?
Yeah, say that again.
It says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. See, the moment you get detached from the world, well, there's something that's going to be in opposition from you. That's the world.
It's like if you thought of yourself as being a 5-gallon feed bucket. Metal or plastic, you choose. But you're a 5-gallon bucket. You are what you have inside you. Are you just nothing? Are you full of air? Are you full of horse feed, cattle feed? Are you full of dirt? Are you full of cat litter? Are you full of dirty cat litter? What you have to do is you choose what fills you up. And if you're filled up with the distractions and dramas and material things of the world, there's no room in you for grace.
Right.
Because you can't have half a bucket of world and half a bucket of Christ, or 3/4 of Christ and 1/4 of the world. It's all or nothing. You have to decide how you define yourself. Are you a person in the world, or are you a child of Christ?
Yeah, and the Message Bible says of this, it says, if you find the godless world is hating you, remember it got its start from hating me. If you lived on the world's terms, the world would love you as one of its own. But since I picked you to live on God's terms and no longer on the world's terms, the world is going to hate you.
And see, this is right out of Genesis. Because look what God did in Genesis to Adam and Eve as buckets. Their bucket was full of Christ and the Garden of Eden and grace. And their punishment was what? To be filled full of the flesh and the world.
Right, exactly.
Hey, we got an email here, and guess who it's from? It's from Dave. From Dave and Barb.
Oh, good.
From Maple Grove, Minnesota. It says, checking in. Hello, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Listening from Maple Grove, Dave. And then it says, let go and let God. This describes grace for me. And then it's signed, Dave. I wondered, we haven't had any hellos from anybody.
Yeah, this is good.
Now, at the library. You go to the library on Wednesday nights.
Right.
Okay. Hey, we just got a text that says, hello, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Good show as always, fellas. Dennis and Muriel Mattson, Tampa, Florida. See,
yep,
now we're getting them. Now we're getting the regulars in. Now we're getting people.
Right.
Okay, tomorrow night you're going to be doing the Facebook stream so people can see you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're on Wednesday nights, you said it earlier tonight. You said some are going fast and some are going slow.
But almost 100% of them are going.
But it goes to the fact that this is an individual's journey.
Totally, yeah.
And that it's up to them to choose what to do with the information that you're providing at the library.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is it to choose what they do with the information, but to at what extent does it replace something in their lives.
Sure.
I mean, do they leave the library Wednesday night? It's over at 8, right?
Yeah,
They leave the library at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night. Do they get in their cars and do they leave that library parking lot saying, wow, I've been completely changed. I am so excited about tomorrow because Thursday morning I'm going to wake up and, man, is my perspective going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
Or do they get in their cars and they leave the parking lot of the library at 8 o'clock and they just say, well, that was nice. I enjoy coming here. It's really nice people.
Right, right, sure.
Because there's nothing that you can do about that.
No.
There's nothing that God can do about that. And what's real interesting about all this is that everything we're talking about tonight has nothing to do with hell. There's nothing involved. Satan, negative energy, has nothing to do with this conversation.
No.
I mean, he's literally just sitting back saying, you know what? Thanks. Thanks for doing my job for me. I really appreciate this.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know what? I'm so glad you're so distracted and you're making such really stupid choices. I can't wait to see you, you know, downstairs. You know, I can't wait to say welcome to hell. You're doing a wonderful job for me.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing about it is that you can't blame the devil and hell for what's going on. But at the same time, you can't blame the guys for what's not happening either. Because you can't blame negative energy for things bad in your life and the pain and the suffering and the dramas, because you choose to participate and you choose to make them valid and real. And at the same time, you can't hold Christ accountable for there not being anything good in your life because you're choosing negative stuff on your own.
Sure.
So you've literally taken heaven and hell out of the equation. And you've turned it into nothing but what you're supposed to avoid, which is,
right,
if heaven and hell aren't involved, then there's only two things left, of the world and of the flesh.
Yeah, well, you know, as we talked earlier, we touched on the subject of sanctification, too, being set apart. The Word talks about that a lot. In fact, I find it everywhere. When you begin to run a little study on it, you just find so many things were sanctified or set apart. And when you look at the word sanctification...
Yeah, explain exactly what that word is.
Well, that word means to be set apart for something. So, for instance, I'll give you 1 Peter 1:2, and look at what it says. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, through setting yourself apart for the Spirit. So to set yourself apart for the Spirit is to take yourself away from the flesh or the world. And it says, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So notice, grace and peace in your life has everything to do with what direction you're heading. To be sanctified, or to sanctification, has everything to do with you being set apart for God. Now, we know, you know, even in the scriptures, you'll see in some of the different stories that we have, even in the Old Testament, like with Samson, he was sanctified, or he was set apart with his Nazarene vow that he had, where he wouldn't cut his hair. Well, God used that to actually cause strength to come into his life and for him to be a deliverer or a judge during that time in the book of Judges. But the whole thing started from his mother having such gratefulness to God for his life being born that she set him apart or sanctified him to the work of God. Well, if you think about it, when a person accepts Christ, he's a new person. It's a new beginning. It's a new life. And I don't think we've ever really understood that well,
no,
because if we had understood it, it would have been a complete separation from everything that was attached to the old life. And I think this is where we continue to speak week after week. And to be honest with you, but this is just me speaking, I can continue to hear more and more and more of this. I don't get tired of it just because I'm more attached to things in the world than, for instance, BJ at the ranch. There's more connections I have with people. And because of ministry, I'm going out and talking to lots of people connected to different things. And
yeah,
so I am thrilled to constantly hear this, but it's our perspective on what life is that really becomes the hurdle.
Well, and what did I say to you tonight about me and the ranch and me being with the guys? What did I tell you before the show started?
Well, Let me think if I'm get on that wavelength there.
Remember, I said the more I stay on the ranch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The more you stay on the ranch, and the more time you spend with God, the more you find yourself having a definite separation with people and
the less I want to be around people. The less I'm around people, the less I care about people, the less I care about the world, the more time I spend on the ranch with the animals and my dog, the faster I go, the more enriched my time is with the guys.
Right.
I mean, if I was a car, the more I avoid the world and the flesh and my own stupid choices, the faster I go.
Right.
And I keep accelerating all the time.
Which is, for this radio show, one of the benefits of experiencing our conversations where you are going somewhere and where I am going somewhere, because what would it be without us having our own experiences?
Well, I went to town twice. I went to town twice since last show. And how long did it take you to write 5 pages tonight?
Just a few minutes.
A few minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were like off and running like a jackrabbit. You already had mm-hmm. 5 pages of notes. See, the more time I spend with people and the more time I go to town, the less you write. I notice that.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, that's because I really don't have much to say.
Right.
And I thought, okay, here we go. Thank you, guys. This is a sign. Duh, stupid cowboy.
Yeah, well, then translate that into all the ministers that are out there.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why no one's progressing is because what's being said isn't full of any progression. And most of what's being said is just nothing but scriptures being given, but even they can be misinterpreted.
The saddest thing that I see is when you tell me you go to, it's always in the early afternoon when you have dinner with these guys. You'll have dinner with them, or maybe sometimes at night you'll go to supper with them, but you'll have dinner most of the time in the like 12 noon dinner.
What, with some of my friends or with different ministers?
Well, I mean, you'd call it lunch.
Yeah.
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 I forgot my horseman, city boy horseman.
I'm from New York, so I mean it's lunch.
Oh, my God. Well, there's a lot of horses in New York, buddy.
Yeah, there are, aren't there?
Yes, there is. But anyways, you'll go to dinner with these guys, and I feel kind of sad for you because you'll lay this all out for them. And they literally are almost condescending to you. Because at the end of the meal, when you leave, you know in your heart that you might as well have talked about bird feeders,
right?
Because they literally tell you, "Well, my congregation is good, the money coming in is good, things are good. Why would I want to risk that with a change?"
Right.
Business is good. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got a couple texts. It says, how do you detach from the world with everyday living? Well, I think we kind of covered that.
Or
is there more you want to say?
Well, just the simple answer is the care that you give it. I mean, if your care meter is busted, then how can you be attached to the world?
Yeah. Oh, we got one here. It says, looking forward to seeing Jim live streaming, and this is from New Jersey. So someone in New Jersey is going to try to watch. Tomorrow night, you're going to stream.
I bet that's Dorothea.
I don't know. I still have some of her. Is that the Butter Crunch lady?
It's her sister.
Oh, Diana is
the Butter Crunch lady, and Dorothea is the sister.
I need to go to the P.O. box because I bet that lady's stuff is here.
Yeah. Hopefully it's still.
I'll go tomorrow.
Still good.
I'll go tomorrow.
Well, then you'll eat it between now and next week, and I'll never know.
Oh, well.
I guess.
Have I ever not shared? How many times have you come to the ranch and I open up the packages in front of you? I wait.
Yeah, usually you do.
Usually.
Okay.
Always. I never open anything. And I
have
say, look,
to do it now, too, because
it.
Everybody wraps them with duct tape.
Well, they need to.
And they say, open only in the presence of the cowboy. That is so rude.
Well, you know what? It's a testament to your inability to share.
No.
I bet you when you
had Christmas as a kid, you probably took a razor blade and opened up packages and then put them back together.
No, I didn't do that. Usually what I did was is I couldn't wait for the holidays. Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, because as soon as I was old enough to reach the pedals of my grandfather's pickup truck, which was like 8 or 9, I would clean up, because on major holidays, while everybody was with their family and sharing gifts and eating, I was doing everybody's chores, making money.
Hmm.
And so Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter, they meant big bucks to me.
Wow.
Because while everybody was in the house, you know.
Sure, they'd want somebody to do it.
They'd want somebody to get dirty, you know, feed the hogs, feed the chickens, feed the cattle, the horses, you know.
Sure.
Take the ice off the water tanks, whatever, scoop snow. They'd be inside. I'd see everybody inside all dressed up, and they'd wave. And, you know, I'd be all bundled up, you know, doing their chores. And then I would go to the next place. And by the end of the day, I had a wad of cash, which was, at the end of the day, I'd have like $70 or $80, which was a lot of money for a kid.
Sure.
In the 60s, that was like 8, 9, 10 years old.
Yeah.
Because that was like somebody's weekly salary as an adult.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I couldn't wait for the holidays.
Hmm.
Because I just like...
And then you'd get your food afterwards?
Well, some people would leave food, like...
Cookies and stuff? I'm sure you cleaned up.
One lady would... Yeah, it was always cookies and snacks and stuff. Because, you know. So, yeah, I'd come home with a bucket full of cash and a pickup truck full of cookies and candies.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I bet you would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we got a text here. It says, I've realized tonight that my bucket, they misspelled a word. I've realized tonight that my bucket is full of stuff. What's the first step to dumping that stuff out? Well, you already have the first step, knowing that it's got the wrong stuff.
Knowing that it's there.
Yeah. We got a message here. It says, hi, Ranger and guys. And this is from Sue in California. Well, that's interesting. She didn't say hello to me or you. She said hello to Ranger, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and Grace. She said hello to the guys and Ranger.
Yeah. I guess we're just chopped liver here.
I guess so.
I wonder what Sue's cooking tonight.
You know what? Apparently, it's none of our business.
I guess.
Sue is saying hello to Ranger and the guys. Well, that's her choice. Well, it's nice that she's listening. Okay, we got some emails here. It says, hi, Jim, BJ and Ranger, Bob and Kim saying hello from New Jersey. The past few shows have been the best. Just keeps getting better. Great absolute message. Life-changing if you want it to be. Thanks, and keep it coming. This is a guy who's got a business card on his, you know.
Yeah, Bob and Rob, who's the husband of Dorothea, they're the two families that have had me out
to
New Jersey, and they have the Bible study, and I'll be going back out again in October. So they have me out twice a year. It's been going really well.
Here's another email. It says, Jim, BJ, and Ranger, checking in from North Carolina. My daughter and I were at the feed store today and saw a man in a pickup truck with a chocolate lab. Guess who we thought of? His hair was too short, though. I'm enjoying more awareness of what God is doing with absolutely no help from man. Motivates me to stay out of the way. Well, a lot of people don't know this, but Jim is as bald as an egg. And, you know, he's got a very expensive, what do you call them now, hair pieces, toupees? What's the proper word for that, you know?
I don't know, because I don't use one, but, you know.
It's April Fool's.
If you want one, you know, you can.
Do I? Then,
BJ didn't have to find a man's wig. He could just find a woman's wig and wear that long hair.
Let's see. You know, somebody today asked me when was the last time I had my hair cut. And I told him I couldn't remember. I mean, my hair is what, 3 inches, probably 3 inches past my shoulder. It's long.
I don't know. You're the one that measures it. How long is it?
I don't measure it, but it's you know. Well, I mean, what is that? Well, I mean, it's kind of.
Yeah, that's about 5 inches probably.
Yeah, about 5 inches. Yeah, probably 5 inches past my shoulder.
Yep.
But.
I tell everybody you look like, if you know your Wild West history, you look like Wild Bill Hickok.
I do.
Very similar.
And it's funny because a couple months ago, a magazine in the grocery store. Some Western magazine was doing a story.
Did it have him on there?
It had him on the cover.
Oh, I bet.
And the store manager brought it over with about three or four of the checkout ladies.
Yeah.
And they says, we died when we saw this. And they said, look, and they said,
yeah.
They said, you literally.
Yeah.
Because it was a, you know. They said, you look exactly like Wild Bill Hickok.
Yeah, that's
true. And you know what I say when people say that? I said, no. Yeah, but he was a lot nicer than me. And they go, he killed people. Yeah. And the look on their face when I say that he was, you know, I say, yeah, I know I look like Wild Bill Hickok, but he was a much nicer guy than I am. It just, you know, well, you know me, you know.
Do you know his history?
I know a little bit. There was a show on HBO called Deadwood. It was a...
Yeah.
It was really good. And I used to watch that religiously. Well, keeping with the flavor of the show.
Sure.
Okay. We got Tim Yokley here. He said he's checking in from North Carolina with his daughter in his chocolate lab. I like that. All right. We got another email. And it says, fellas, thank you for the abiding presence. Great, great show as always. Listening from Detroit. Took a nap earlier. Usually I've fallen asleep by now as I get up very early in the morning. Starting to get it and give my cares to Grace. Sometimes it feels a little scary, like walking off into darkness. Anyway, took daughter to a hospital a few weeks ago and they wanted to admit her. I began to repent over my heart position and seek Grace, praying in Holy Spirit until I knew what to do as a brother Hagen taught. The Lord showed me to put my hand on my wife and to have her hand on the baby. We did it, and she was instantly healed. Grace is obviously not a feeling, but I guess it is trusting in unseen realities. Is that right? Question mark. Maybe to progress, I just need to trust more. Okay, a question or two. Have you ever known of God to heal an amputee? You do.
Well, I mean, Joe
was I was going to say it Joe was either you or with, that short guy.
Yeah, Joe had a guy with no finger, and it appeared.
We need to have him on the show. Seriously.
Yeah, Joe would like being on the show.
Has he ever heard the show?
I don't know, but he would like to be on the show. I know that'd be
we
great.
We need to get Joe on.
Yeah,
because
we'll do
that's
that.
Who I was thinking of when you said, wasn't it a finger, toe?
Yeah, it was if a guy came up like this with just...
Well, you got to elaborate when you say like this. This is radio.
Well, he had a nub of a third finger, and he said somebody here is going to get their finger healed. And the guy came up and he looked around and he said, "Is there anybody else?" And no one else came up. So he said, "Well," he said, "you must be the one." So he slapped the guy's hand and said, "I have a name called Jesus," and slapped his hand, and bam, that finger came right out. And became just as whole as the rest of the other fingers.
Sue sent another email. It says, "Hi, Jim and BJ. You guys are funny. I'm eating ice cream and while listening to the show." That's a girl. Now, see, now there's a woman eating ice cream and listening to the radio show.
And it would be even better if it was Swanson's.
Yeah.
Because we found that to be some of the best ice cream going.
Yeah, you know, I've got him trained now, the Swanson guy. He comes right to the ranch now, parks right outside the barn.
Cool.
Yeah. And he's even started carrying stuff on the truck because I've asked for some stuff that's sold out.
Uh-huh.
And so now he's having some stuff packed on the truck that he saves for me to buy.
Cool.
I'm getting him trained. It's taking a little bit, but he's starting to come around.
Good deal.
She didn't say what kind of ice cream. Want to guess? What do you think she's eating?
I say it's probably cookies and cream.
I don't know. You know, she's awful. I think Sue's kind of health conscious. You know, she's in California.
I bet it's Breyers, and I'll say Breyers cookies and cream.
No, I'm going to go with, I just think it's like a regular average store-bought ice cream, but I'm going to go with, something simple. It's like chocolate chip, vanilla, something like that, you know?
Okay, we'll
and it's just like a store brand.
We'll find out in a minute.
What do you want to bet? What's the bet? Let's bet. Let's gamble. What's the bet?
Half a gallon of black cherry.
That's $8. And it's not a half a... Yeah, it is. It's a quart. A quart of ice... Yeah, it's expensive.
Oh, it's a half gallon.
Okay, so you want to bet a container of dark cherry Swan's ice cream.
Yeah.
Is this a bet?
Yeah, it is. We'll see what Sue says.
All right. Okay. Well, what if we're both wrong? I guess
well, then it's off.
Okay.
So before the show, we talked about some things, BJ, about how that we can get so filled up with things that there's no room for grace. And one of the things we were talking about is all the personal gratification, how easily the world has turned into being so selfish and people just thinking that everything is about just getting more, more, more.
Yeah.
And how if you're having more, more, more of the world, then there's no room for grace. You're not making room in your heart for God to actually be who he is. You're in the way.
If you recall, I said if people would read scripture and if they compared themselves, they would be shocked and amazed that they are closer and live their lives more like the Pharisees did than they do an average person that was hanging out with Jesus walking around.
Yeah,
they would be shocked because they have multiple cars, vacation homes. They have more food than they need. They have more rooms. They have, you know what I mean? I mean, and I'm not talking about just the listeners. My house is pretty small. I mean, you know, I've got 830 square feet, not exactly a mansion, but I do have two pickup trucks.
Right.
And I could certainly get by with one. But, I mean, we have so many redundancies, and we have so many things that we take for granted that are actually, they're not needed. I mean, if you know, it may not be your favorite food. It might not even taste good. But you've got stuff to eat. And there are literally people that don't have anything to eat. They would literally eat what we throw away and we waste.
Right.
The amount of clothes that we have. You know, I've never been very materialistic. And my motto has always been that I never want to have more things than can't fit in one pickup truck. You know, a full-size Ford pickup truck with an 8-foot bed. I never want to have more personal possessions than will fit in the back of a pickup truck, so that at any given moment I can just scoot down the road and go. And but the other day I was talking with somebody, and he said, "Well," he said, "my boots are wearing out. I'm going to have to buy a new pair." And I was just curious. I says, "How many boots do you have?" And he says, "Well," he says, "I got a cut." He says, "I got four or five pair that I wear out when I dress, and you know." And he had like 15 to 20 different pairs of boots. And I said, "How many do you think I have?" And he said, "You know," he says, "come to think about it," he says, "No," he says, "that can't be." And I says, "What?" And he says, "You literally just have one pair of boots." And I says, "I do." And he says, "Well, what do you do when they wear out?" And I go buy another pair. And he says, "You know," he says, "I've never seen you with anything on but these, you know, these working horseman boots."
Right.
He says, "That's all you wear." And I says, "That's right." And I says, "But I have a pair of rubber chore boots and I have a pair of snowshoes. But other than that, that's it." And we all have eccentricities.
Yeah, that's right.
That are really distractions in the most fundamental of ways. Because if you have to pay it, if you have to work for it, if you have to insure it, if you have to clean it and take care of it and worry about it and guard it, well, does that not sound like a distraction?
Yeah, it does. In fact, let me add to this. You know, perspective is a very interesting thing. And in my business, going to churches, most people, without even thinking, would judge the success of someone's place of worship based on how many people go.
And what it looks like.
And then what it looks like, too, yes.
Well, that's kind of the comparison for everything.
And they might even judge it. This is kind of scary too, but they might even judge it based on the type of people that go. Like how well everyone is prospering, for instance. So we're successful. But very rarely do you ever hear someone talk about the spiritual progress of the people that are in the church.
Well, that's because there's nothing to talk about.
And when I go places and I talk with pastors about this, I know this is something that's very perplexing to them. And, you know, it's not like I've gotten lots of resistance, but it's not like I get a lot of further conversation beyond my own, okay? But when I make comments about how connected are your people, like how many of them are experiencing God's grace all the time? And I'll clarify that by saying, no, I don't mean has anybody in your church ever had an experience with God, because I sure hope they have. But when was their last experience and how many of them are there?
Yeah.
Which just shows that you're enjoying him on a regular basis. Because right. If he really can be with you at all times, and you would have to then take the limits and boundaries off of your own expectations of him being beyond anyone you've ever met. Well, then why wouldn't you have amazing experiences pretty much all day long? And some might be more spectacular, but they're all spiritual by nature. And so when I go down this road and talk like that, it can get very quiet, because that just shows you how we're judging things. But then individually, BJ, right. We judge ourselves incorrectly as well. We don't look and see how well we're progressing with God. We look and see whether or not our job is bringing in enough money, whether our house is fancy enough, whether we've got enough clothes, or whether we have all the different things about this world's success. There's more of that in our lives than we care to actually realize.
Unfortunately, everyone, you, me, everybody listening to the show, we actually come by this terrible situation quite honestly. We were born into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so were our parents.
Right.
And so were our grandparents.
Right.
And so were our great-grandparents, and so on and so forth. This isn't something that anybody that's listening to this radio show just woke up one morning and it occurred to them.
Right.
Like a ceiling fallen in. We were literally born into a world, into a reality that has nothing to do with Scripture.
Right.
And unfortunately, the overwhelming majority of quote-unquote places of worship are structured, created, and designed by people that are just as misinformed and born into a screwed up world as we are.
Right, right.
Okay, take that at face value. What are the odds of somebody enjoying grace?
Right. Well, look at this. Think of how things have changed so much. For instance, look at how people are always talking today about being relevant. Relevant to the day. So people are changing today, they say. So we need to be relevant. So look at what happens now. Now, during your time of music, where you should be having your thoughts on Jesus, you darken the room. You put all kinds of strobe lights everywhere. You have fog machines. And then the music has to be incredible with all kinds of things going on in the background.
They do that?
Yes, because now we're being relevant. Geez. Relevant to our day and to our time, to a generation that is more visual, that need and more technologically driven. So now we're bringing all of this into our worship to help be relevant. And what we're buying into is a completely screwed up world that has nothing to do with the relevance of Spirit.
And this has nothing to do with heaven and hell, just like I said. We're creating a reality that isn't real.
Right.
We're creating a world that has nothing to do with good and evil. It just has to do with us.
Yeah.
And if you look at this, this was the punishment of Adam and Eve. We are right back to square one to Genesis. We got to... wait a minute. Okay, I got to play this. Hold on a second. You know why I'm playing that?
Yes.
That goes out to Grandma and Grandpa in Morgan Hill, California, the Harley couple, the senior outlaw biker couple.
That's awesome.
Was that good?
Yeah, it is good.
Did that sound pretty good?
Yeah, I think it did. We'll have to see what they give us for a report.
I don't know. I wonder if people heard that. I thought it sounded pretty good, but that goes. It says, "Hello, Ranger BJ Jim, and our family." Listening in Morgan Hill, California, your grace teaching has helped us immensely. Grandpa and Grandma.
That's good.
But anyways, I thought that was.
That's really good.
I hope they like that. Okay, we got another email here. We got two. It says, you owe me. It says, you know what? It's a draw. It is Breyers, but it's vanilla. And I said something simple. So it's a draw.
It is Breyers. See, because you said something about her being a little bit more health conscious.
And
Breyers is much better than most because it doesn't have styrofoam in it. Do you know that?
Yeah, but styrofoam is tasty in ice cream.
BJ, styrofoam is styrofoam. Are you kidding me?
Happy...
Oh, will you stop? Will you stop?
No, you know what?
Who sent the text to say that I was brave to come out here on April Fool's Day?
It was the first text. It says. I'll read it again. That was the first text of the evening. It says. Props to Jim for going anywhere near the ranch on April Fool's Day.
Thank you.
It says brave guy. Well, you know what I did today.
You didn't have someone come and take the tractor and like remove my little. My little Mini Cooper somewhere. Stick it up in the hayloft or something. That would be terrible.
What I did was, and it's kind of a tradition with me. I don't know what I did with the last one. So me and Ranger, you know, had to go to one of those big box stores that I hate that are open 24 hours. And I bought a pink, studded collar. And a little pink leash, like you'd have on a little lap dog or a poodle, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I kind of scuffed them up a little bit, and I tied them to the trailer hitch on the back of my pickup truck. And then I drove around the parking lot of the grocery store in town.
Yeah.
Waiting for someone to say something. And this guy came up to me and he goes, "Oh, my God, sir. He says, "What?" And he says, "Your dog." And I go, "Oh, no, that's my daughter's puppy. I live 10 miles away." And he goes, "You drug a dog for 10 miles?" I go, "How is it?" And he goes, "It's gone. There's nothing but the leash and the collar."
Well,
and I
terrible.
Go, "What am I going to tell my daughter?" And he goes, "Oh, my." And, you know, and he was starting to tear up. And I looked at him and I go, "Hey, buddy, it's April Fool's." And he actually used some pretty creative language. And I was dying laughing, you know?
Yeah.
And then I did it to three people, and then I had to be on my way. But I got three people with dragging a dog's leash, little pink collar, so I thought that
it's
was
terrible.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Totally terrible.
But, you know what I did last year on April Fool's? I went to a big gas station. And during the dinner break, you know, there's like guys that trim trees and construction workers and... You know, some pretty big, beefy, you know, macho guys, right? And they eat lunch at the gas station. And they sit there. So I pulled up in my truck, and I had a little pet carrier. And I come out of the store, and I open up my door, and I go, and I had the pet carrier, and the door was open. And I go, oh, my God. And they go, "What?" And they go, "What's wrong?" And I go, "I lost my daughter's cat. My daughter's home. She's sick. I was supposed to take the cat to get it shots." And I says, "The door's open," and my truck window was down. I says, "There's a cat somewhere under these cars." I said, "You guys got to help me. My daughter, she loves this cat." And they go, "Here, kitty, kitty." And I said, "No, use the cat's name." And they go, what's your daughter's cat name?" And I go, "Boo-boo kitty." And so there's all these macho guys under all these cars going, boo-boo, boo-boo kitty, here, boo-boo kitty. And I'm going, you got to help me find it. I literally had 15 to 20 people going all over the parking lot going, boo-boo, boo-boo kitty. And so finally,
did you just leave?
I had to because I couldn't stop. You know, I was going to die laughing. So finally, I get in and I start the truck and I honk my horn and I go, thanks, everybody. I found the cat. And everybody's there shaking hands and going, oh, good. And this one guy says, let's see boo-boo kitty. And everybody looks. And then by now, I'm backed out of my spot. And one guy says, it's April 1st. And some people laughed. Some people gave me the international hello finger. But I was gone. But yeah, last year was boo-boo kitty.
Yeah, I don't think you can top that. Hey, there's a scripture in 3 John verse 2 that says, beloved, above all things, I desire that you, or I wish that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And I really like this because everything we're talking about tonight, about separating and about really squeezing the room that grace should have in our life out of our life from the world, really is found in this verse. The soul prosperity, or the prosperity of your soul and spirit, because it's all about your spirit. It can't be about your body.
No.
In fact, I made a comment. It made sense to me even better. And I think everybody really liked it. Tim and Ed really liked it when we were at the meeting the last week in North Carolina. I said the number one reason why Jesus took our infirmity and he bore our sickness, in other words, the reason why he redeemed our body is so that he could get our bodies out of the way where we wouldn't have to pay attention to them because there's nothing wrong with them and we could just enjoy our spiritual connection with God. Because as long as your body's in the way and you got all kinds of problems with it, you're running all over the town trying to actually fend off all the fires that are going on in your flesh. So when you look at Jesus to take our infirmity, bear our sickness, really what he's saying is, I want to make sure your bodies are healthy so you don't have to put any extra time or effort into spending on your flesh where you would take that effort, that time, and that fun away from me up to your spirit.
Look at the letters that Paul wrote. They were literally trying to remind people that he literally would say, look, you're enjoying your life, and your life is good. You're not doing anything wrong, but you're really not doing anything right.
You're not going anywhere.
You're not going anywhere. Your progress stopped soon as you went back to your town and your life.
Yeah.
You've allowed the reality of the day and the reality of the world to overshadow what you had when you were enjoying grace in the company of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so he was literally trying. That's why his letters were so long and so elaborate, is he was trying to remind people that they hadn't lost grace. They were literally just ignoring it.
Yeah.
They had set it aside like a winter coat.
Sure.
That now that spring is here, you wash it, you clean it up, and it's your favorite winter coat, but you put it in the closet till next year.
Yeah, I think the thing tonight that really spoke to me while you and I were talking was just going back to Genesis again and being refreshed about the truth that Adam and Eve enjoying the presence of God like they were. And really, when you think about it, that there wasn't much information, as was spoken earlier on the broadcast, about Adam and Eve and the time that they spent with Jesus, even though we know that they did spend time and they walked with him and fellowshiped with him. Number one, that does speak to the fact that it was individual, so in one sense, it's none of our business. But number two, it definitely speaks of there was nothing wrong. Everything was great while they were with Jesus. Now, the information that BJ and I talked about that really spoke to me was when you look and see what one bad decision brought man into, the experiences, the new reality, the new normal, what man now was bound to do generation after generation, and he learned it very quickly. If you don't, we don't fend for ourselves, we don't get to eat. You know, we got to work, we got to toil, we got to struggle, we're frustrated, we got all kinds of problems. We're doing our best to make life, you know, ends meet, etc., which basically describes the drama of 2014. When you look at the fact that a bad choice brought us into that type of connection with drama and the world and the flesh and what we basically look at life as being a part of, almost every single movie that you watch on TV is giving you another side of drama, something else that people are buying into, and we literally just think this is life. How would we find God unless we began to disassociate with the way of life that we've known? It really, really is just that simple. And it's supposed to be that simple. It's just not easy when you look at your life and you realize that most of your life doesn't mean as much as you think.
No, and you know, one of the things that a parent does is they always want to show a small child what's bad for them. What doesn't taste good, don't eat dirt, don't eat paste, don't run with scissors. It's cold outside, so you have to wear a coat. A loving parent, always there's a certain amount of protection, of showing you what is bad and what'll hurt you.
Right.
Well, there's many places in the book that relates to where we're his children and he's our father. And as a father, as a parent, grace does that as well. Grace's job is to afford us protection, afford us guidance as to what doesn't taste good, what is bad, and don't run with scissors kind of a mentality. Grace has that.
Sure.
But grace can't provide that. Well, grace, you can't enjoy that part of grace until you acknowledge that you have grace. You really can't enjoy the wonderful protection of God's love until you acknowledge God's love to begin with. And I think sometimes that organized religion and that things are taken out of context from Scripture, where there's more of an immediate gratification than there is a true meaning of what you're to enjoy.
Well, every time you acknowledge, I use the word acknowledge as an invitation. An acknowledgement is an invitation for grace. It's an invitation for the love of God. You know, Paul, in his revelation that Jesus gave him, said over in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Well, if that love is in us, it's just like the groceries. How are you going to be able to experience that? Well, your acknowledgement of it. Your verbalization of what you know is true, it's the invitation. The same thing with the grace of God, because grace is there, like we've made mention already, and I'm looking again at Titus 2:11, which is a great verse. It says, grace has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness, irreligion, and worldly passionate desires. And it's trained us to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in this present world. It's not talking about all your efforts there. It's not talking about all your work there. It's talking about acknowledging grace and having the benefit of something that is far beyond your knowledge, your ability, your strength, your wisdom, working with and for you. And this is the reason why we're trying to get people connected, even if it's with the smallest of little details that we see God's grace. For instance, you're making a picture the other day, Friday, of the storm,
yeah,
and the sun and the hawk. And
I'm trying to get him to enjoy it.
And I'm right there with you. Because to me, I can see all kinds of things, but that's just been me all my life. I can see anything like that and immediately find God. Well, all of these little things become so important in the bigger picture of how do you describe God working in your life.
Well, you know, not once, not ever, is there any mention of anybody in that book where they were slighted, cheated, had any misfortune when they set aside their reality to enjoy grace.
Right.
You know, you look at Moses, he literally said goodbye to his wife, his kids, told his brother to take care of a whole bucket full of people, a whole herd, and he just left. He didn't even ask them. He literally just said, I'm going with God, you know, take care, you know, I'll write once in a while or something. And what people don't realize is that, you know, the more I acknowledge grace and the more time I spend with grace, the more I realize that things get done just fine and dandy.
Right.
You know, I never really pay attention when I drive. I don't know how many lights there are or who I really pass on the road or what's going on, but I get to where I want to go just fine. And I every time I get in the truck and I turn the key, I say, well, this is going to be interesting. Thanks for the nice ride. And I think that somehow, like I said, we all come by it honestly. We were born into it. And so were our parents. But
yeah, well,
this very basic fundamental enjoyment of grace has been lost.
Well, there's no doubt that there is a separation, a pulling apart. Jesus was known constantly for pulling himself away from the crowd and going to a solitary place to have time with his Father because of the pull and the demand that people make on you. And even with Moses, there's no doubt. You see Moses spent so much time in the tent of meeting, which was far away from the camp. It didn't mean that he didn't have contact with his family. It just meant that he spent time with God, and that time that he set apart to spend with God is where he got over into a spirit consciousness with God. And folks, it doesn't mean that you still won't go to work or there won't be things that you'll do in your life. When we're talking about pulling away from the world, we're talking about taking the kind of time that allows you to invest your heart in God instead of your heart in the world. And the more that you begin to do that, the more you'll want to do that. And the more you begin to want to do that, literally you can find yourself becoming very spiritual in nature, spiritual in thought, spiritual in your tangibleness of God. You'll find that over in Hebrews chapter 5 in verse 14 and 15, where your senses become exercised to begin to sense God. Yeah. Because he is real. And this is our goal, to get you to experience more of his reality, which means you'll experience less of what you think the world is.
Well, it's time to say something to music. This is our last text message of the night. It says, the bike sounded authentic. You're having too much fun. Well, it's April Fool's. We're supposed to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, I've never understood why people think that grace and the guys in a relationship with them has to be so deadpan serious. I've never understood why that it can't be pleasant and
well, that goes back to religion painting the picture that God's some old guy on a throne that can't get off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wrong perspective all the way around.
You know, Dave up in Minnesota, his guess was Bluebell crazy cookie dough ice cream, whatever that is.
Hmm.
So he lost. So actually, Dave owes us ice cream.
He really owes us ice cream.
like the production board and paying for text messaging isn't enough.
I know. Like
now we demand ice cream from
Dave
and Barb.
April Fool's, Dave. We're demanding ice cream from you.
No, it's not April Fool's.
Swans, black cherry.
No. We got another email here. It says, "Hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. It's Wendell and Stacy Millett from Trinidad. Just saying good night. It's 10:44 p.m. here, and we just wanted to let you guys know we're enjoying tonight's teachings on grace. And it says, where is Ranger? She's very quiet. Ranger? Wow. Good girl. Well, there you go. There's Ranger. There's one more email here, and it says, enjoying the show tonight. I think a lot of times we believe we are focusing on things by reason of fear and of what could happen. For example, we make sure we confess healing scripture so we don't get sick. The way I say it to people is that I don't go change the oil and wash my neighbor's car. It's not my responsibility. I just let God take care of my body. I feel like this is a healthy perspective. What do you think? Well, I think that's a nice little email, and it kind of goes to the flavor of the show. You ready for some music?
I am. Well, Father, tonight we thank you for being with us, for people all around the world that are listening in. And we ask you, Lord God, to continue to open our eyes, because we believe that one of the greatest gifts of your forgiveness, taking away all of our sin, is to open our eyes to a new reality. We ask you, Lord God, to do that for every one of us, that these things that we're sharing would be so real to us, and we'd have such excitement of seeing them and experiencing them, that we'd be able to just fill up show after show after show with the people that are on this broadcast giving us testimonies of how, God, you're doing wonderful things in all of our lives. And for that, we give you thanks. Amen.
Well, that was pretty good. Well, what'd you think tonight on April Fool's Eve?
I'm thrilled that we were able to talk about this. I think this is a great subject here. I don't think we really scratched the surface of it. I think there's a whole lot more that we could do. But I'm constantly made aware that, you know, that as long as we talk, of course, about God, but as long as we also talk about how easy it is to be attached to the world, it's really helping people. Because most people don't know. And I find myself sliding back every once in a while, too. I come over to the ranch, and you and I talk, and I just sit there quiet for a while.
Yep.
Because then I'm starting to realize, wow, that's another whole element right there of being attached to the world.
Well, you know, a lot of times, well, not a lot of times, but whenever I happen to meet somebody, because I don't get to meet people that listen to the show like you do, but when I do sometimes, they'll ask me, they'll say, well, you're kind of tough on organized religion, or, you know, a lot of times you're kind of negative. And I tell them, I'll say, well, unless someone knows what's wrong,
right?
Unless someone realizes that there's a choice they can make, and maybe the choice that they're choosing isn't exactly what's best,
right?
How would they know that there's another opportunity out there?
Yeah.
I mean, if you always drink out of a mud puddle, it would be kind of nice if somebody informed you that there's cleaner water.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And I think it's hard for people that have been to services all their life that are listening to messages, for instance, listening to most of the first half of Paul's messages, which is all of the stuff that, and wonderful truth, that just goes over again and again and again, our redemption.
Yeah.
Our rights and our privileges, which is all necessary,
yeah.
But then not bringing the other part, which is Paul trying to say, you know, you're pretty attached to the world and you're really not going anywhere.
You know, I have to read this email.
What's that?
Because it's important. Well, you know, Dave up in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a wife, and his wife's name is
Barb.
Is Barb.
Right.
Well, apparently, she has her own email, because Barb just sent an email.
Okay.
And this is, and it's very short, it's to the point, and I think it's a very important message.
Okay.
Because it says, subject, it says, from Barb, subject, ice cream. And then it just very simply says, make Dave pay up. And then it's signed Barb.
That's good. Well, so, Dave, we really can't say too much about that.
Well, you know, it would be wrong to go against the wishes of a listener.
I wouldn't want to create a rift, would you? No.
Well, I don't care about a rift. They're in Minnesota. I just want some free ice cream.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, it would be wrong to go against the wishes of a listener.
Yes. Black cherry.
Swans.
Swans.
How's he going to pull that off?
He will.
I have to map quest his town and my town, see how many miles apart we are.
I know he will. He'll call up your Swans guy and have him deliver it. That would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah. We should almost feel guilty for talking about this over a huge expensive board that those guys paid for.
Well, you know what? Barb doesn't think so.
Apparently not. She's on our side.
She's on our side.
Folks, we hope that you enjoyed the show tonight, and we hope we made you smile and think. I want to wish you all a good week. We'll be here next Tuesday night. Jim will be at the Hardesty Library tomorrow night. And make sure that you remember that that's from 7 until 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time. And you go to the JimHuckaday.com ministry website. And there'll be some way that you can watch him at the Hardesty Library.
Hey, Dave, BJ wanted me to tell you that his whole thing about the ice cream was actually an April's Fool joke. But actually, mine, I do want to collect.
No, it's not.
Oh.
I never joke about ice cream. We want you to take care of yourselves and your pets. And what do you think, Jim? Do you think we had a good show tonight?
Well, we certainly had a lot of fun. Maybe too much. I don't know. But I think the point is getting across week after week after week. So,
well, folks, Ranger. What else? And remember, folks. Dog spelled backwards is what, Ranger?
Good night, everyone.